Okay, we'll get to all this. Now, I'm going to have to roll tape because this sounds like, you know, stuff we just got to kind of get. No, you're done with that. That's over.
I'm turning this off.
Tomek.
Yes.
Okay. I'm in Nashville with Sarah Tomek.
Here we are.
Sarah, you made it.
I did it.
You want to share with the class what happened to you? And you keep saying the new Nashville.
The new Nashville. I left downtown and it took me about 55 minutes to get 3 miles.
What's going on? Where did you leave downtown?
Broadway. Yeah. Left Broadway. And I don't know, there's a show at Nissan, there's construction, there's a million people, there's bachelorettes, there's penises on foreheads, there's drunk people everywhere.
It is the bachelorette capital,
it's
right?
The capital, we have surpassed.
Next Friday, you guys start in the heat.
Yes, right. We have surpassed Las Vegas.
Good for you, congratulations.
Thank you.
On the new Nashville.
New Nashville.
Very, very proud of this new...
I guess so. I mean, our property values are very proud of it, so...
True. Where are you from?
I'm originally from New Jersey.
Oh, look at this, of course.
Asbury Park.
Of course.
You know,
of course.
I still have my attitude.
Hey, what are you going to do?
I still curse a lot and have a terrible attitude problem.
Right.
But what you see is what you get.
It's very clear and very direct, but how is it appreciated here?
Direct, assertive, same thing, right? Is it appreciated? Mm. I have some artists that I've worked with in the past that might beg to differ.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying.
But like, do I give a shit? No.
Well, it is what it is, isn't it?
Man, you just got to be who you are and then,
just
be your honest self, be your true self, act with integrity, and just be honest to who you are. And that's the only way we can really be authentic, right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is what it is, as I say. And
not
everyone's going to take a liking. I don't know.
That's okay.
In your situation, I know. I speak for myself in that matter.
Yeah.
Like a Kevin Murphy. Our mutual friend. And a shout out to Kevin Murphy.
I love him. I love him so much.
How long have you known Kevin Murphy?
God, since I moved to town. He was playing with Randy Houser. I was out with Maggie Rose at that point. We became instant friends. And that's something that guy has. He's just honest, assertive. To the point, I love him. Mm-hmm. We both play like gorillas behind the drums. And what you see is what you get, you know. Yeah. And Kevin has been so supportive. And he's supportive, he's a huge part of the community as well. And he's just the truth, man. So,
yeah.
Kevin, I love you. I love you, Kevin!
I know.
I do.
Know.
He's my
tissues,
man.
Take the tissues.
I know.
That's why I have him here.
I miss him, man. I miss him so much.
I know. Don't worry, we're gonna send him lots of texts during this. Now, wait, when did you get here, by the way?
I moved to Nashville in 2012.
Okay.
It's
been a while, 11 years.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of changes.
Oh, yeah.
I remember, like, down off Music Row and Demumbrian was still a flat land where you used to get held up at gunpoint. Not shot, you would just get held up.
That's cool.
And I miss those times.
Right, because now you get shot?
Yeah, you just get shot. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So we could use to go back to those times. But, I mean, shit, we got the best music in the world, and I'm living in Music City, so it could be a hell of a lot worse. Now,
did you get here from Jersey? Was it direct?
Yes. Okay. I came here April 2012, was instantly on the road with Maggie Rose, who's a Americana country soul artist. Mm-hmm. And we were on the road immediately. And it was just radio tour. We did like 190 shows in, I don't know, 9 months. It was crazy. So, yeah, I kind of hit the ground running as soon as I got here with her.
So, just to be clear, you moved like basically with her in a sense? Or
Her and her business manager. Yeah, like I came for an audition. And
how did you get the audition?
Well, this is kind of crazy.
Well, we like that. That's what I'm saying.
I know. Oh, shit. It's crazy. Can I curse?
Fuck yeah.
Okay, cool. She wasn't even 20 yet. She had played the Stone Pony. I'm from Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Sure.
And she was working with a writer in town that my band was playing with. And the guy was like, hey, I want this young artist. She's like a Nashville country artist to come up and sing with us. Blah, 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 blah. Remembered her years later, her business partner was playing with a band. I was touring somewhere, like, I was in Florida at a Seminole casino. And he's like, Sarah, do you remember Margaret Durante, was her stage name at the time? Do you remember her? I'm like, yeah, I do. And he's like, I need you to come. She's got her whole career together in Nashville, new management team, et cetera, et cetera. Come do this audition. Went down 2 weeks later, had to move my entire life to Nashville. And
that was like part of the deal.
That was part of the deal.
Like, you're gonna have to live here.
Yeah, I was part of a bunch of auditioners, mm-hmm. audition people.
Cattle.
I was part of a cattle call.
Right.
Got the gig. And yeah, I had to move my entire life in 2 weeks.
And but you knew this going in, or you were told like when they wanted to give you the gig, like, hey, you're gonna have to.
Yeah, when I got the gig, okay, it was kind of pretty quick.
I got you.
I knew they were putting together her band and the career and her radio team and everything like that at the time, and I was just lucky to be part of that
right.
in the beginning, and that right. was 2012.
Right.
And it happened super quick.
Mm-hmm. And then she changed her name. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah. In the midst of that, she was signed to. I forget. I think it was. Maybe Universal. She had a deal with another label, and then just did a whole flip, and then she changed it to Maggie Rose, and then changed the look.
Yeah,
and
the other name wasn't really gonna work.
The Margaret Durante thing, yeah, because they think like,
I mean, it could
Durante. It was a little too
like Jimmy Durante.
Yeah, you know, they're like, hey, and she's like, hey.
Well, it's a little. It's like it works in Jersey, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're like,
hey, I'm Durante. Hey. But and not like, yeah, not in Nashville.
They softened it with the Rose thing and cut a little bit of the locks off
I get it. No, it's fair. It is what it is.
I was gonna change my name to Sarah Lindsay. My middle name is much more feminine and pretty than like Sarah Tomek. It's kind of rough around the edge.
But you play like a gorilla, you said.
I do play like a gorilla.
Why do you want to? You wanted to soften it up a little
Sarah
bit.
Sarah Lindsay, the gorilla, sounds nice.
I understand. Why not Sarah Tomahawk? No one ever
said that. Is good. I've been called that before.
Yeah, why didn't you take that?
It just feels violent.
See, that's what I'm saying. You want back to soft.
Like let's feminize the instrument a little more.
You want to make an announcement today that you have a name change?
Ladies and gentlemen.
I would, from here on, I would like to be known as Sarah Lindsay.
Sarah Lindsay.
Right. Very feminine and soft.
My father, who was a drummer, and that's why I play drums.
Okay.
He passed when I was young, but he wanted me to change. Like, he didn't want me to take his last name. He wanted me to be Sarah Lindsay. He thought that was a better stage name.
He said this to you.
He did. He said this. And, really?
Is he like, has it worked out for me? Is that part of it?
I think he thought it didn't work out for him, but it has worked out for me. I've been very lucky so far, so I guess I'm going to keep the name.
What kind of drummer was you then? As far as what style, what genre?
Rock and roll drummer, a little funk attitude, mm-hmm. like love Steve Ferrone.
Wow.
You know, just a little bit of that swagger. Rock and roll 1970s, New York City, Queens, he was just, he had a pocket like none of
He's from Queens?
Yes, Queens, yeah. New York.
Where, sorry?
Actually, Queens City.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, he was the man.
Where was your mom from?
She's from Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jersey girl,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I miss it.
They're a whole family, right?
Yeah, it's
I know.
Thing.
You gotta trace it right back to the boat.
Yeah.
what is Tomek? What is that?
It's actually Czechoslovakian on both sides.
A Czech?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know, right? So it's Vada and Tomek on both sides. We say Tomek because we're idiots from the Northeast.
But it's also that thing. I love that because it's that country that doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah.
You know? I remember that from my youth. I remember all these Czech people.
Yeah.
Like that was a thing and you just don't hear it anymore.
I've been to Slovakia. We played Bratislava. I played with them Vibes on our first and our only European tour there. In 2015, played Slovakia. It was amazing. But I'm still dying to go to Prague. I haven't been to the Czech Republic
yet. I did
yet.
Get to Prague, yeah, but I went in the winter, which is not the most advisable, but whatever, you know.
Happy to be there.
Well, you go see Franz Kafka's little house. It's like it's like a tiny little, it's like this cottage looks like a mansion next to where he lived.
Okay.
Yeah, it's dark, you know what I mean? It's Prague.
I'll put it on my tour book of what to do next.
Put it on your tour, exactly. You. Put it on your fucking tour book.
What to eat, what to see.
Well, that's that too, exactly. What's going on? Are you on the road with anyone right now?
Wow, man, it's been kind of an interesting couple months for me. I got off the road in March, and it's been kind of an unexpected, what do they call that? When something's unexpected, but it kind of like, it's just benefited me greatly, like just to be home.
A pandemic.
A pandemic was one of those things, yes. I am a road warrior. I've been on the road for 12 years now. And got off the road in March and was terrified. I didn't know where I was going to find footing. I don't know how to like tell people I'm available in this city. You know, it's a very hard thing to do, you know, when you've been gone so long and been just a tour monster, essentially. So, yeah, I've been kind of just hitting it back, doing sessions, getting my name out. My phone's been ringing again and just been playing with a bunch of friends and playing a lot of different genres, cross-pollinating, and I'm having a great time being home, which, I'll tell you what, to be honest, I was terrified. And I like sleep 8 hours a night like a normal human.
How do you do that?
I just being off the tour bus, you know, it's I'm really grateful. I have my garden. I've been creative in a lot of different ways, have a lot of great records I'm working on. So, as of now, I am not on any tours.
Yeah.
So no.
But you're playing in town.
Playing in town, playing with a couple different artists, doing some different country stuff. Playing some cover stuff, some corporate stuff, playing sessions. Mm-hmm, so, yeah. Keeping busy.
Yeah.
And that's also crazy when you're used to working with an artist or being on a specific tour with one artist's material for so long, whether it be 9 years or a month, you're used to doing that one thing. And then you come back to Nashville and you're doing the hired gun thing again. Right. And it's like a million different charts and different gigs and hustle.
Yeah.
And it really keeps you on your toes. Mm-hmm. And there's a beauty to all that. And it, again, just keeping you on your toes, you're like, oh shit, this is a lot of work, but the reward is, it's almost greater at the end of the day. You're like, oh shit, I did this. I did these 6 gigs in 3 days, you know?
Right.
And or the session and the albums and just having the time to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Has been great.
So you're also saying, like, when you got here, you kind of went right into it because you got here with the gig and everything. You had to move here. You already had the gig.
Yeah.
You moved here and you're just, what, hitting the road right away kind of thing?
Yeah.
And still coming back home on breaks and still moving in? Is it like...
No, I mean, it was pretty immediate in 2012. I moved here. I had the 2 weeks to move here. I luckily had a friend in Nashville that I moved in with. So I already had a spot that was... that I could call home with somebody that I knew. Kind of drove my drums down and my suitcases and then... bought all my furniture here and just started building a life here.
You had one kit, like one of those?
I brought, I actually brought 2 kits. I brought a Rogers 67 Holiday Sparkle, 24-13-16.
What color sparkle?
It was a red. It was a red sparkle.
Of course it was, of course.
It was a red, they call the Rogers wrap was a glitter
glass.
Yes. Different. Uh-huh. And I had... at that time, I only brought that and my Yamaha Birch Recording Customs.
Boom. I've been talking about those.
Everybody loves that kit, man.
Well, I know. Actually, I've been asking guys, you know, in the studio stuff where I'm like, have you ever used it? Have you ever used it? And they're like, no.
Oh, it's so killer.
But you still have it.
I still have it. I'm a Ludwig artist now, so I don't tour with that kit. I have housed it at a studio. It was at the 515 studio for years because every session guy... or girl, just loves the way that kit sounds. It's amazing.
22?
It's a 22, and that's when I was younger, so I had to have like every size, you know? Mm. So it's 22, 10, 12, 13, 16, I think, on that kit have.
Right.
You know?
Oh, 3 up.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. I would do 3 up, and I had like 2 ride cymbals.
Oh, yeah.
I was an idiot.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And then you get older, and you're like...
I gotta lug this
kick,
shit.
Kick, snare, hat, maybe a floor tom.
Maybe. If you're lucky, artists. But hold on a second. You're saying... Well, first of all, are those heavy? Because I've never owned one, a recording custom.
They're not as heavy as, say, like a Vistalite kit. That's for shit sure. Those are heavy.
Okay. I just was curious with those lugs.
Yeah, do they
like
call
if that
them
adds weight.
The Imperial lugs, when they're the whole... I know that's what Ludwig calls them. I have a
Oh, right, right, right. That's the lug. That's true. The log. I don't know what they're called on the Yammies, but I know, like, it just...
Yeah, the lug casing. It's the long lug casing.
And I don't
know
if that adds weight. I'm saying, I'm assuming it does, but do they stand out as heavy to you, the kick drum, picking it up, or not really?
Yeah, the kick was heavy, now I think about it.
Okay.
But they sound great, and...
But it's funny, because I'm asking people... who record, and it's like, do you ever use the Birch thing? Because, you know, like, the naturally EQ'd Birch.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, no. I just think that's interesting.
Those sounded great. They had a little more dark tone to them. That kick is still one of my favorite kick drums ever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I love that kit.
You had the cherry red or the black?
Cherry red.
There you go. See, you got two red. I love it.
I know.
That's cool. It's cool. You don't have the Rogers kit anymore, do you?
I do.
Because the way you were saying it was so past tense.
Ludwig, so I got to be like, I have a Rogers kit.
Oh, right.
In a closet somewhere.
Right.
And the Yamaha kit in another closet.
I understand. Okay, right.
But yeah, the Rogers kit, my father passed away when I was young, and I got two kits from him, and that was the Rogers kit and... the Yamaha kit, and I started building off that Rogers kit. So it was 67, and then somebody gave me a 71 24x14 kick, so I rewrapped it in whatever I could find that was closest to a red glitter or glitter glass, whatever the hell they call it.
Right.
So I rewrapped that, so I actually have two 20s, 12, 13, 16, and a 24 kick for that. So I kind of have
two 20s,
like,
had double bass. Yeah, I couldn't even fathom. See, my brain was, I don't understand. Why do you need two 20s?
I know.
I don't understand.
Because they didn't have double kick pedals back then.
You were doing double kick. Who was your double kick person?
Oh, man. I grew up in New Jersey, so hardcore. New Jersey hardcore, like, scene was a thing. Like, straight edge hardcore was awesome. Dillinger Escape Plan. I grew up on that kind of shit.
Okay.
I love that stuff growing up.
Okay.
And I was a huge Metallica girl.
Okay.
Old Metallica growing up. That's kind of how I cut my teeth with that stuff. And fell out of the double kick very quickly when I came to Nashville. And when I started falling in love with Zeppelin. I'll rewind that. Like, giving yourself the power with less drums and one kick pedal. And, like, just trying to get my foot to a place that was strong enough, you know, doing those massive triplets, the bottom triplet thing. When I started playing, you know, more 70s rock is kind of when I left. I departed that metal thing a little bit.
You don't still listen to it?
I love it. I can't say I really, like, shed it or listen to it much anymore. But I have a admiration for it still.
I admire it.
I do.
I know, yeah. What do you like? I mean, do you like country?
I do.
It's okay if you don't.
I like 90s country. I think country as a genre has kind of been in, like, a identity crisis for a couple years, you know? I think Americana is now what country was. And I think it's kind of Americana now. And roots music is really holding on tightly to that genre, to what that is, to not let it go into whatever country, modern country has done.
Right.
And you see modern country now kind of going back to those roots, you know, like I saw even on a country playlist today that Tyler Childers is now country, where I thought he was more bluegrass Americana. I saw him in, like, a modern country playlist. So I dig stuff like that. I love indie rock. I love, like, Wilco, I think, is one of the greatest American bands.
Wilco?
Our time. Yeah, absolutely.
You know Ken Coomer?
Yeah. Yes, he's in town.
Yeah.
He actually is producing or was working with this band, Bendigo Fletcher. Phenomenal. Fucking phenomenal band. One of my new favorites out of this town.
Why not?
Kind of like almost Fleet Foxes meets... They're just super ethereal, really cool vocal... band with just great songs and structure, and the song takes you on a journey, and that's one of Ken's bands, if I'm correct.
Okay, fair enough. We'll double check.
Yeah, badass.
So yeah, Sarah, identity crisis. Yeah. You think in country music and
And I've been out of it for so long. I'm just kind of coming back to it now, being in Nashville since March. I'm like, oh my God, okay. I gotta like learn some of this stuff. And I was doing a gig, you know, where it's very modern country and it's just tracks, a guitar player and the artist, and we're flying in bass.
Oh.
And like that is a thing.
Flying in bass.
Yeah, no bass player.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
okay.
It's cool. I mean, I know that I'll never trip up because it's got to be the same, you know, and just getting my chops up with something like that, modern country, and I don't know.
But you like country. You actually listen to it.
I do. I like everything.
Okay. Yeah.
I like everything. I can't say, like, I'm down with, like, new hip-hop. I think my love for that kind of stopped at, like, Jurassic 5. And in the early 2000s, I think I'm just showing my age with that, but I'm fine with it. Yeah. Kendrick Lamar is amazing. Like, all that, like, that shit's crazy.
Right.
That songwriting and that.
Right.
I'll dig into those records, but I can't say it's, like, on the playlist or in my vinyl collection.
But you like playing beats also, as a guess, right? Like, you like that part of it.
Soul, funk, rock and roll.
Yeah.
Groove.
Yeah.
Let's groove.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that in country, if you can't do that in Americana, you can't do that in rock and roll or hip-hop, like, what, you got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the rock and the roll is the basis of American music. It's got to start with the drums. It's got to start right there.
Right.
So.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I got you. But, I mean, the changes here in town, has it ever made you think of trying out L.A. or anywhere else? Or are you just like, no, I'm here?
I mean, being from Jersey and New York City, it's like, I would like people to just tell you to fuck off to your face, mm-hmm. not behind your back. So, even, you know, I don't think L.A., I just never had a vibe out there. Mm-hmm. I tried to move to Brooklyn and New York City. Couldn't do it. Like, they're just...
Did you try this pre-Nashville?
Yeah, okay. I tried in, like, 2010. Mm-hmm. I was looking at Crown Heights. I was looking at all places in Brooklyn and the outskirts. And it just never stole my soul. Like, I needed more trees. I needed more venues. I needed more space. And it just...
Mm-hmm.
And then Nashville kind of stole my heart. It really did. So I think this is definitely where I belong right now.
Mm-hmm.
I love New Orleans.
Oh, yeah?
I do. The last artist I played with was from New Orleans, and I love it.
You spent time there?
I did.
Yeah. How much time have you spent there?
Well, we did, like, a bunch of rehearsals. We played Jazz Fest, you know.
Like a week at a time kind of vibe, or 3 weeks? Or
like... No, more like 4 or 5 days, here and there. Okay. And there.
No, because you mentioned, you know, getting... used to be just getting held up down on Broadway, and now you just get shot.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, so you're really into that.
Yeah, I'm kind like of New Orleans. That is...
you really want to up the odds of getting shot.
I love the spirit of New Orleans. But
you like
I would...
the idea that you could get shot.
No, I like the danger, but that's why I'm not moving there. Because,
that's what I'm saying. You're pulled
like,
in by
it's
the...
It's literally like, yes. I love it, but there's no money being put into that city. It's sinking, like, there's musicians getting... like held up at gunpoint, like terrible stories down there.
That's what I'm trying to, and I know they're listening and it's like, sorry, dude,
I love it, you
Rob,
guys got
sis,
the culture.
I'm sorry, but like, that's what's going on. I mean, I know a guy, and he was like a drummer, and he was like, oh, I have a fucking gun.
Yeah,
because after a gig, getting out 3 a.m. and I've got like a few hundred in my pocket.
Oh, they're getting,
and it's like, I have to be able to.
It's scary.
It's like, really,
it's not worth it. But
I don't think so. But I know you like the music and the food. I know.
And the fear factor, you know.
And then
everybody's like, the New Orleans cats, they're like super badass.
Right.
You know?
Right. So, well, that's true. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of badasses there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that smell of puke. On the really hot day. You
we
know
have
I mean?
That downtown here now, though, too.
Like a day like today, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying when you make the bachelorette parties.
Yeah.
And the vomit, you know, just like wafting up. But that's also very East Coast, the smell of urine in the subway
it
or
feels
whatever.
Like home.
That smell of garbage.
Yeah.
On a hot summer in New York, you know
New
what
York,
I mean?
New Jersey, that garbage.
That stink, you know.
I'm like, I'm home.
Like
Thank
walking
you.
By a dumpster, and it's just that certain smell.
Yeah.
But, you know...
It smelled great tonight. Yeah, it was great.
You'd go back, right? You would go back. You'd live in Jersey.
I would. If New York City was happening, you know, I just... My life's here. We're in Music City. Like, there's no denying it. I live in Music City. I'm lucky to be here. We bought, my husband and I bought in 2015. Mm-hmm. We have a great little house.
Everything's tripled?
At least. I mean, it's crazy.
Right. I know.
It takes me 55 minutes to go 3 miles, and I get road rage, but...
But only down there at that time, or what? Yeah.
It's still Music City, man. You really just can't shit on it.
It feels
awesome.
No, I got you. So let's talk about, now you had you work with Steven Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me how the hell that even happened?
I was probably the biggest Aerosmith fan anybody had ever met as a kid. And it's just crazy how dreams can come true. Never my wildest dreams, what I've thought. And I was playing... Marty Fredrickson is a producer, writer, musician in town, and he'd written Jaded. Hey, Jaded. It's an Aerosmith song, like 97, like older 90s.
Would that be Get a Grip? We talking?
That would be...
Just
Push Play.
Oh,
and
okay.
Nine Lives.
Okay.
So
okay.
That would be like 97-ish, I think, is when Marty started playing, hanging with the band. Anyway, I'd known Marty, had worked with Steven, and they had a relationship, and he had lived downtown, and he owned this studio. He had taken over, he bought Quad Studio.
Steven Tyler?
No, Marty Fredrickson.
Okay.
But he had worked with...
Okay,
so I recorded with Maggie Rose at Quad, and I knew it was Marty's studio, but I hadn't met him that day. And then later on that night, we had a couple of drinks, we were celebrating, and I was like, going to go down at Dan McGinnis, which was a club... on music circle there, on Music Row, and they would do like a rock and roll night, like B-sides, and a bunch of my friends, which later became the Rock and Roll Residency, which is a really cool hang that was in Nashville, and they would, you know, just have a killer rock and roll night, and they're like, come over. So after I played at Marty's studio at Quad, I hadn't met him yet, and then I sat in and we played an old Aerosmith song. We played a song from 1974 called it was off Get Your Wings. I can't even remember the song.
I know.
Anyway, I know I'm terrible.
I can't do it. I can't help you.
Played Marty's studio, never met him. Played this Aerosmith B-side. It was a 7-minute song. Got off the stage. There's Marty Fredrickson.
Okay.
Same day. And he's like, hey. And I'm like, I know exactly who you are. And he got my number. And it was to play with his band, Loving Mary, and to also play... in the potential Steven Tyler solo project that he was putting together in Nashville. And that's how it came to be. I was in Nashville at an Irish pub playing rock and roll with my friends, playing an Aerosmith song at 10 o'clock at night, and Steven Tyler's producer saw me.
Perfect.
And that's how it happened.
See, folks, that's what I'm talking about.
That's
get out there and do it.
Just get out
show
there.
Show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look what can happen. All right, so what's the next step? How does this...
Next step, I mean, just baby steps. I have an awesome session next week.
No. I meant with that story.
Oh, the story.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just ended it there. Like, he was like, hey, and that's how I met. No. It's not over
yet. Oh, the Steven story. Yeah.
That's not over.
I don't know. I showed up and...
Like, you had the gig at this point, or was there an audition?
No, there's no audition.
Oh,
I was
put
together this band. I'm like, and Marty's like, I got this girl drummer. And Steven goes, what do you mean, a girl drummer? He goes, trust me. And he goes, okay.
What are we supposed to do with that information?
I don't know.
Steven Tyler was upset. There was a girl drummer.
No,
what,
I mean,
what do you mean a girl
drummer? He's a complete feminist, and I love him.
No, I was just... I'm breaking balls.
Well, I know, but it sounds like that,
to.
Right? But
that's
he says, what do you mean? He just didn't think
about
it.
I don't understand a girl. I don't understand.
I don't understand how you can have boobs and also sticks.
You mean she shakes a tambourine?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, like Stevie Nicks,
yeah. Exactly.
Marty put together these rehearsals. We had the set list. The band rehearsed without Steven. Flew to L.A.
Okay.
At that point, he was renting Selma Hayek's house in the Holiday Hills.
And just to be clear, why a Nashville band that fly to L.A.? Why not?
Because Steven was making a Nashville-based record. He was signed to Big Machine at that point, and he was going to make a country record.
Ah.
So in doing this...
He wanted to make a country
record. He did make a country record.
Oh,
yes, he did.
Ah.
And so he was in the midst of buying a home here and building his house in L.A., so he was staying at, he had, you know, his million houses.
Sure,
and,
sure.
But that's where we met. We flew to LA. I think we had some corporate LA Steven stuff to do. So we had like one rehearsal, two rehearsals to do it before that. And then we were going to like debut the band on like American Idol. And then we played a bunch of late night. It was just like insane, like hit the ground running.
Right, right.
But we, the band had not met him yet. We flew to LA, went to this house he was renting. There was a old blue 70s Vistalite kit in the corner, piano set up, a little PA, and we just rehearsed in his living room.
Damn.
Overlooking the the Hollywood Hills. Mm-hmm. And he eventually, you know, showed up like Steven Tyler would, like, I don't know, 40 minutes late. And I peed my pants, and then we just played rock and roll. That was over, you know, it was
right.
great.
Right.
So
and he was just like, hey, the rest was cool. history. Hey, yeah. cool. You over there. Good. Well,
he's a drummer, so.
Right.
And
right.
he does have perfect pitch. So I've seen him blow in a harmonica and say, this is flat, and throw it. And he was right. So he's a music mastermind for sure.
Huh.
So when it comes to drums, he'd like to test me and, hey, play this. Can you do this? Can you do this, Phil? Can you play it like this? Can you do it? You know, like always like. And he would do it live, too. And we're on in-ears live, so I never know what the hell he would sing. He would scream at me, but we're on in-ears. I can't... Hmm. In the middle of a show, like, play it like this! Hmm. And he would mouth it to me, and I would just kind of try to play a fill that he'd be mouthing to me.
And you're like, I don't think I did that right, because
sometimes
I can't hear you.
Sometimes he would laugh, and sometimes he would be like, you know, so...
Interesting. Interesting.
But, yeah, he was... He's not easy on drummers, you know.
No, I wouldn't think so. Actually, I wouldn't think so. And it seemed like I feel like I've gotten that sense that he even busts Joey Kramer's balls. Quite frankly,
Joey Kramer says Steven Tyler is the reason why he has that twitch in his eye.
Interesting. Interesting. Where did you read that somewhere?
Yeah,
or
I
you,
did.
Okay,
I
you
did.
Have never talked to Joey Kramer.
I have. Yeah.
Oh, you have.
I've jammed with Joey.
Yeah. Was this post Steven Tyler? Or?
Yeah, Joey was at one of Steven's. Steven had this. Or still has this Janie's fund for women, and it provides housing and therapy and counseling to battered women. And it was after the Janie's Got a Gun story, and he's got three daughters, and he's very much a feminist. And he put together this organization, and he would have these fundraisers once a year around the Grammys in LA. And I think the second or third one, Joey was there. And Steven is telling me what to tell Joey what to play. Like, what song? And I'm like, I'm not going to do that, Steven.
Wait, let's get this really clear.
Yeah.
He's telling you, like, in front of Joey or
no? No,
he's saying to you,
tell Joey to play Train Kept Rolling tonight. I just want to play that one. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that, Steven. I'm nobody, and this is your bandmate of 30-something years, and why don't you tell him, you know?
Right.
And, but yeah, I got to hang out with Joey.
Did you get to observe them? Like
a little bit. It was all love.
It was all love, absolutely.
And,
And is Joey, like, does he talk to you? Like, is he like, hey, I saw you play.
He knows who I am and what I did.
Yeah.
Him and his wife, and I'm just like, I love you so much, and... You know, his playing has been one of my biggest influences.
Well, I mean, you said you were a massive Aerosmith fan, I'm assuming. Yeah.
I think Kramer don't get any of the credit that he deserves. I mean, it's America's greatest rock and roll band, in my book, that kind of doesn't get the props they deserve. And they're all still kicking it, you know? I know Joey's not there anymore. He's got some health stuff, but...
There's some bullshit going on there. I'll just say it.
I'm not gonna talk about it.
I know. I stick up for the Mick Marses and the Joey Kramers of the world.
The Pete Bests.
That's a little different.
No, I know. I named our dog Ringo. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. It's a little different.
But yeah, they're good. Do you know what it's like to be in a band? You know, their first record came out in 1973.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
No.
I mean,
I came out.
I
know.
Having a relationship with an artist for 2 years is, you know.
No. No.
Yeah.
A big old no. I can't.
And I'm a serial monogamist, and it's still hard.
No. It's a different thing when you're dealing with with those guys. But that's a different vibe, man. I mean, and also, you know, when the money's involved with all that kind of crap, I guess you do what you got to do on some level. I don't know.
I think they're all okay.
well, they're all doing very well, and that's what I meant.
Yeah.
So when that's involved, you just kind of, when you're having Vegas residencies and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess you just do what you got to do. You know, yeah. he was from Yonkers, I want to say, Steven mm-hmm. Tyler. Did he have that New York vibe going on? Did it come out? Did you see it? Or hear it, I should say?
Depends, yeah.
Or is he more Hollywood now? Go ahead, you can say it.
Yeah.
A little bit?
A little bit.
Not Boston, right? He doesn't sound Boston, does he?
He doesn't have an accent like that.
Yeah, okay.
He really tries to tap into his... First of all, he is a kid. He would grab guitar cases and drum cases and help us lug gear. Mm. You know what I mean? Cool. Like, so that's kind of amazing when you have somebody at that status still letting the kid out and having as much fun as he does. And he's just so excited about performing, and he was excited about playing with a new band for the first time in his life. And I mean, he literally did just let the kid out. And that was just, I learned so much from that. Mm. You know, we all can get jaded in this industry, you know, and we're all very lucky, the ones that can do it, you know. It's just, you can't forget where you came from, and watching Steven pick up a guitar case and watch Steven get excited about his new single and Steven get excited about playing Nissan Stadium and whatever, you know, it was at that time, it was fucking cool.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah
you can't forget that what we get to do is really special. You know, so if anything, he taught me that. But no accent, no real accent.
Okay, good enough. I got you.
Good guy. I love him.
Yeah. No, I got you. So, all right. I mean, look, what's the, if you could do any tour right now, would it be, like, genre-wise? Would you like to rock out? You want to do country? What do you want to do? If it was your pick.
I think I kind of get pegged into just being a rock and roll drummer, and I love it.
Yeah.
And like, but... I've been doing this new country duo, Steel Fountain, and it's been great to play with, you know, Roots and Blastics and a hi-hat tambourine and a, you know, a shaker in my right hand, and sing a little more and do a little more Americana country stuff and just not as driving every minute. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, I kind of like to do, ideally, them vibes would be what I would really want to do. That's the band. We have another record coming out next month. And that's more like rock and soul, like very like 70s vibes, but like just soul groove, that Americana. You know, I don't know if I have a dream gig right now, but maybe something a little more chillax, maybe not so full throttle. You know, because I know I already can do that.
And, yeah.
I think that...
Does that get tiring on the road?
It does. I just think...
Putting all that energy in night after night? No, I mean it. I'm not...
No, I mean, I love it. You know, it's super fun. I just... There's more dimension to my playing than just that one thing.
You want to jump around? You want to do different things?
Yeah.
Of course.
Don't we all? Yes. Let's explore. Let's do something fun.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
What does anybody remember? Laughter?
Laughter? And I'm not, when I say fun, I don't mean a cajon.
Right.
I mean not a cajon.
Right. And when I say fun...
Yeah.
It's very close to cajones.
Oh, let's make a t-shirt. That should be the t-shirt.
There you go.
Yeah.
You just sold some t-shirts.
Hashtag cajones in the Cumberland.
There you go. So you just sold some t-shirts on this episode.
Let's do it.
Now, well, that's on you.
I'm saying, good.
They're looking at your fucking pages looking for the link for the merch.
I'll give you a piece.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right.
I'd like a piece of that, definitely.
Shit.
No, but I mean, and by the way, you do sessions here, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I've been asking this to people. What makes a good producer for you?
Ooh, God, I've worked with so many different kinds. Some are tone masters where they want to get everything in the take. They don't want to do it post-mix. They're not replacing kits with the ultimate drummer. They're not replacing things with the CLA vocal, you know, software. They're getting it, and that band take is the live take. And there's a producer like that, and there's some producers that are, you know, gonna cut your hi-hat. Maybe just grid the hi-hat. Maybe, you know what I mean? There's just different ways that different cats work. There's producers that I've worked with that are drummers that when I play drums, I feel everything as melody. So I even sometimes I'll mimic a fill very similar to one I might have played earlier because it just it feels like a melody to me. It feels like a vocal lick. It feels like something like a turnaround thing, like just
Matt Sorum in November Rain,
something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Over and over.
Yeah, but maybe.
Or the whole album. Sorry, it was the whole album, right? That he did. Wasn't that the thing? And he was like, I wanted a running thread.
I don't know.
That's
the
thing.
Is it really?
Yes, and people made fun of him for that. He gets a lot of shit for that.
I just.
It was the blah, bloom.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, the flam.
And it was like on every. All the different songs. Don't You Cry, blah, bloom.
It's just like, you just take the drums and the fill and just place it in there.
I didn't know if that's where you were going. Like you were saying,
it's more like, you know,
a hook.
Yeah, it's just a hook.
Like the way a guitarist plays a melodic solo. Just having memorable licks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But some producers will be like, no, man, can we get away from that? Give me something else. Give me three to take from here.
And when they do that, that's what's confusing, right? It's no, man, give me something else. But they're not going to tell you.
Some do, some don't.
Some will give you like a line reading base and they'll even tell you, I want blah, blue.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Like they'll tell you. Okay.
Or, hey man, how about we have some space here? Like, can you do it like you did like before? Or, you know.
Leave the first hit out. Like, this is kind of bullshit. Like, where it's like, okay.
Like, when I track, I don't want to make drums become a science project.
Mm-hmm.
I like to do a whole take. I want that to be the take. I think it's intentional. I think there's something magic about earlier takes. Mm-hmm. I think there's something inspirational in those things.
Mm-hmm.
There's something spontaneous when a band comes together and it fucking feels really good. That is what music and records were supposed to feel like back when records were made that I loved. And that's what I like to do. And there's just producers that want different shit. Like, you're there for the song first, serve the song first, serve the session, and you gotta serve the people that you're working for. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a story, I'm not gonna name the guy in town, huge name in town, when the producer asked him to just play a ride on it, he just refused to do it. So he just got replaced, and he's one of the biggest drummers in town. You know what I mean? So it's just like, he just refused to do what the producer asked him.
He just refused?
He refused. He just, it was like, hey man, can you play the ride cymbal on the chorus? And the guy's like, you know, and he was replaced.
Interesting.
You know, so it's just like, you gotta...
I'd like to talk to him. What were the reasons, you know, really break that one down?
I don't know.
What was the...
I know.
Too predictable?
Maybe...
Too obvious?
People like, get a name for themselves, they just think
like
their way is the...
The right reading is the one I'm giving you.
It.
You know.
And mind you, when I'm in the studio with them vibes or recording anything with my husband, who's also a drummer and vocalist, when he's like, hey, can you play it like this? I'm like, absolutely not. My way is better. But that's just with my husband.
I was going to say, that's different. That's a whole different thing going on there.
But
and your reasons and,
good, yeah.
and how that all plays out. Why is he hiring you?
I don't know.
What's wrong with
him?
He
thinks I'm good.
Let
I
me
don't
talk
know.
To him and tell him,
you
like,
should.
Why, don't hire the wife.
So, yeah.
What's the matter with you? Get away from her for a day.
And I've been leaving invoices on the pillow for like 10
ridiculous,
years. And
ridiculous.
It's just not...
Ridiculous.
You know, the interest is accruing and I don't...
Why is he paying your wife? You know what I mean? Like, just come on.
That's why he hired me.
Come on,
he
dude.
Pay me. You just figured it out for me.
It's
not because them vibes likes me. It's because I'm cheap. Damn it.
See, that's it's your rate.
Yeah, I gotta work on
and
that.
And you're not even. And you're not exactly
the wife rate. Yeah.
You know,
all right, it's over.
I mean, make the call. You know what I mean? But just wait till the end of the interview, please. But make the call. You know what I mean? No, but for real, I mean, so do you play guitar or anything else?
I dabble
yeah,
in
okay.
everything.
All right. No, because I know this is like a songwriting town, that whole thing. So yeah. I didn't know if you get involved in all that and you're... It's okay if you don't.
I've written more so kind of like chime in on bass guitar, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my vibe.
You pick up a bass? And...
Yeah, I feel like every drummer wants to just really be a bass player.
That's kind of true.
I mean, all I want
to
do.
I wouldn't mind having the Charlie Drayton chops.
Yeah.
To be able to do...
Yeah.
You know, I know.
Make
I
bass
know.
Face.
I know.
And just like bring one thing out.
I know.
would be kind of cool.
I know.
Here we are.
I can't
do it. Why do we have all this stuff?
I don't have anything, but I mean, I don't get that. But you, I'm saying, you guys, it sounds like you have a lot of stuff going on over there. You have the whole thing going on. It's like producers and studio stuff and mics sitting around.
Yeah, well, we're just like, when you're here, you're immersed in it. And I'm lucky enough to have played on enough records to know and have experience from New Jersey to Manhattan to Nashville to work with so many different people and different genres. My dad had me on a click in a studio when I was 11. Mm. So, like, that's just kind of built into...
Into me, I love it.
I like going in and I like tempo mapping something with a producer. I don't think necessarily a song should be the same tempo. The heartbeat doesn't beat at the same beat.
It should speed up in the chorus, maybe slow down in the part. We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah. It's just all those like little intricacies that make the recording process awesome.
But most projects, should they want to go a click?
Yeah, I mean, I like to. I do. And it just makes it easier for post for everything. But there's been songs we haven't used a click on, you know, if it really needs to breathe. But for the most part,
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not afraid of the click.
No. I think that's good. I think that's great. That's a good attitude. So are you... well, first of all, when you go to what's it called, downtown Broadway area, like, are you doing those things? But no.
Yeah, I'm doing our guitar player for them vibes. Johnson Jay does like some 3-hour sets here and there, and it's like not very modern country, and it's like with the most killer musicians in Nashville.
Right.
So I'm making a great amount of money for working for 3 hours and drive 3 miles from my house.
Because there's a whole thing I've noticed about that, and I know you know what I'm talking about. It's like this thing, but there's like this weird air pocket, it seems like, where it's like real cats
are
doing the Broadway thing.
I said I would never do it.
But right, because then there's other people who are like, Runway, you know?
And that was me. And then when I got off the road in March, I'm like, well, it's easy money. I'm playing with my friends. All you bring are drumsticks and in-ears because it's all electronic kits down there. So I'm not bringing anything.
Right.
Now, ask me if I was going to bring a kit or bring cymbals. I would tell you, probably not.
Just because of the whole, like, the logistics of unloading. Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do, like, you know. But to just kind of show up, play with amazing Nashville musicians, get paid a buttload of money for working for 3 hours, and then go home and sleep in your own bed, kind of awesome.
Yeah.
And I did poo-poo it, but who's to poo-poo anything right now, you know?
I mean, I'm just telling you exactly, like, this is the word going, you know.
That was me.
But there, like I said, there's this little pocket, right?
There ain't no shame in the game, man.
Well, you gotta work.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to do that.
So, I mean, it is, you know. And it's hard, like, session work is really hard to get into consistently, like the slam sessions. And I'll tell you, it's all guys. Like, there's very few females that are in the basic tracking sessions unless you're like a fiddle player or something.
Mm-hmm. And that goes for all instruments.
It really does. It's like fiddles or some backup singers. You very rarely still see women in there, which needs to change. But you know, when you got your guys that you want to use, that's just the thing. And I understand that. Mm-hmm. So getting into sessions in that world consistently is a hard door to walk through for anybody.
Well, I that's an interesting point you raise. I mean, are there female producers in town?
Few.
There are
a few, yeah.
Okay.
Leslie Richter, I've worked with a bunch. I did a record that never came out, Trina Schumacher, who's the first female to get a Grammy for the Sheryl Crow Mirrorball record. There's few, they're around, but very more few females behind the glass.
Okay, so if I were to challenge them publicly, like, mm-hmm. it's on you, not you, mm-hmm. meaning them, like, isn't it, it's more on you to help with this? Is that fair, or is that like, well, that's unfair?
No. I just think...
Like, between, like, I'm just, not cutting you off, but like, between, like, say, female artists mm-hmm. and female producers?
I can tell you two that I worked with in my whole life, and I just told you their two names. And I've worked
with them. So that's what I'm saying. We're talking. Like, in other words, would that help? if they could get together and be like,
I mean,
hey,
yeah, I've done.
We really should be hiring female drummers and female bass players.
And they're trying to do that, I think, especially in the last 2 years with a lot of things changing with sex and race and everything is mm-hmm. it's becoming more inclusive with mm-hmm. everybody, and that is a positive change. But you know, it's like anything, when you have your people that you know are going to get the job done, they're going to do it quick, you're going to keep hiring the same people.
Sure.
When a producer has their guy mm-hmm. or girl or whatever, mm-hmm. they're going to keep just using that because they know they can work and they can churn it out. And a lot of these things need to be churned out quickly. And like, there's no fault to that. I'm just saying it's hard to get into that.
It's hard no matter what. Totally.
You know, so for me,
a guy shows up and it's like, dude, you ain't getting in.
No, yeah, there's no, it's just, so when I do get the call, it's awesome. Like, I'm doing a prog, like almost like a prog rock jazz session next week. And I'm like, holy shit. It's like several time signatures and a 4.5 minute song.
Shit.
It's not pop at all. And I'm like, I'm happy I got the demos. I'm going to have to actually chart the shit out. It's not 1-4-1-4 at all.
Is this your thing?
I mean, I just got it.
Is this your thing?
It's a Berkeley grad, like, awesome, amazing producer.
So you're excited by this?
Yeah, I'm excited, yeah.
It's not like, oh, I don't do that.
Mm-mm.
Right on. Good for you. Right on.
Something different.
Fucking
so
it.
Things, you know, happen. And,
a Berkeley grad. Look out.
You know, a little Berkeley guy.
Yeah, I know. No, it's that thing. I know. It's
that thing. I went to Berkeley for a summer seminar. And
I did that.
The greatest thing.
I did that. What? No, you had a great time, but you didn't go?
I didn't. You know,
because I had a bad time. That's why. Not a bad time, but I mean, it was a wake up. It was like,
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you guys are all like little Vinnies.
Yeah.
And Weckles. And I was like, no.
I did a Latin summer seminar and realized how terrible I was, but also I grew up really pretty poor, and my parents would have sent me, but to put them to absolute debt for me to get to teach.
Like, no, you just said it. I get it.
You know what I mean?
You just put it there. You were like, look, I would have went,
but it didn't make sense.
I understand.
And I didn't want to become a teacher, and that was what the degree was like. That or composition for film scoring was something at the time that only Berkeley had offered.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm like, you know, I'm a school hard knocks kind of girl. And I just went out and hit the Manhattan and just played and played and played and played. And
so you played in New York City?
Yeah. Yeah, I had a desk job 9 to 5. I'd be in my car at 9:15 at rehearsal by 6:30. You know what I mean? Or I'd be playing with my cool, you know, Lower East Side electro bands until 3 a.m. and then I'd get home.
Where are we? Where Arlie's Grocery? Where are we?
No, this would be more like Pianos
and
Max Fish and like the Delancey.
The Delancey.
You know what I mean? Like dirt plays, like awesome, cool.
Yeah.
You know, but like the Lower East Side band wouldn't talk to like the Williamsburg band because I was also in a Williamsburg band. They were really cool too.
Right.
And these kids wouldn't cross the Williamsburg Bridge. And it was a whole fucking thing.
Right.
But I did all of that,
but
I still had my 9 to 5, and I was just crushing it. I was just trying to always play with as many people as I could, and I'm doing that still now.
Yeah,
and I have joy in it.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, just lucky to still be doing it.
Yeah, no, I get it. That makes a lot of sense. So you are choppity chippities. Like, you like that stuff.
I do.
Yeah. I know.
A little bit.
So who are your choppity chippity people?
Like, choppity chippities like Carlock.
Yeah,
is my favorite.
Okay,
because
gotcha.
His pocket.
Yeah.
And whatever he feels in the kick, Deitch, of course.
Oh yeah.
Adam.
Yeah. Lettuce. Yeah. He was on the show.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Early on, he ate a burger during it.
Of course.
Well, you know him?
We did some... I was playing at Rock... I was doing a soul night at Rockwood Music Hall in New York, and he was on after me, and I knew who he was.
Right.
But, like, I didn't know it was him, and he came in wearing a San Francisco Niners jacket, and he looked all rough, and he's like, man, my mom played with me till she was, like, 8 months pregnant, because his mother's a drummer.
Oh, right.
Adams.
And his dad, right?
Yeah.
Both parents.
So he just has this admiration for females. He's like, I love your pocket. And I was like, cool. Then he got up and I was like, holy shit. Adam Deitch just told me I'm good.
Yeah.
It was like 2010.
Yeah.
And then like last year I was at High Sierra and like went to the 2 a.m. Lettuce show, you know, because I had to.
Oh, right on.
Because he's amazing.
Yeah,
the whole band is just disgusting.
Yeah. No, it's that thing.
And Nigel Hall from New Orleans.
Another, right.
Is Deitch from New Orleans, too?
No.
Denver.
You know, I don't know, actually. I can't think, because I know he's a New York-based guy, right?
They're super cool.
Am I right, though? He's a New York guy still?
Yeah. I thought maybe Denver.
Oh, based? Oh, he could be. I think I met him, as a matter of fact. We did the interview in Brooklyn. I think it was the, whatever the label that Alan Evans is on. It was Soul Live.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're Label Mates. And it was there, but by the Brooklyn Bowl.
Yeah.
That's where...
Williamsburg, right? Yeah.
No, that's where we did the interview. And, yeah, whatever. He was, you know...
Yeah, but Deitch.
He had a burger to eat, you know what I mean?
Nikki Gillespie.
Yeah, sure. Isn't she in... She's in Texas, right? Anyway, go ahead. You don't know. It's okay.
You know,
That's not what this is. It's not a quiz of where people live.
I know. Like, the thing about social media is they're everywhere, man.
Very true. No, when you're on the road, you know, I get it, too. You can't... Some people, you just can't fucking tell where they live. It's like, you know. I know.
But, yeah. A lot of great drummers in this town.
Right.
Of course, everything is going to elude me at the moment.
Right. But I get it. You want to stretch out. I get it. You can do the choppy-chippity thing, the groove thing. Right.
Yeah. I mean, what did Questlove say? 2 of 4 pays the bills. That's what I like to do. I want to make asses shake.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The choppy thing, like, I admire it. I wish I could play jazz better than I do, and all, like, but I have an admiration for it and respect, and I'll go to Rudy's and I'll go see it and I'll go, damn, I wish I could float like that, and I just can't, and that's okay. Like, I'm not that kind of player. Nate Smith just moved to town.
He did?
Talk about
Nate Smith moved to town.
Yeah, he's got a house here now.
What the
I know, it's over, Johnny. It's just, you know, these cats are moving. I'm like, damn.
What? Oh, that's
talk about one of the greatest drummers.
Now, you know, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, okay, yeah, that's interesting. But I guess, you know, it's all here.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Seems odd to me. But all right, I can't tell anymore what's going on.
It's a good town.
The new Nashville.
It's a good town.
No, it's a great town.
Moving here. My property value is going up.
That's what I'm... Back to that, exactly. Exactly. It's like, you love it. Bring it. Hey, Sarah Tomek.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This was fun.
I appreciate you coming by today.
Thanks.
Right on. You did it.
That was easy.
Come on.
We sold some t-shirts.